I'm going to begin with some opening comments this morning, since it's a very timely, perhaps for some of us, somewhat sensitive subject, and that is the future of America. And the first comment that I want to open up with, and that is that where the Bible is silent, we as God's people must remain silent. But where the Bible speaks, how many of y'all know, woe be to us if we do not proclaim the word of the Lord. And let me tell you that on this subject, the Bible is not silent on the future of America. It is very, very clear. I'm going to say some things this morning, church family, that I pray it would impact our hearts where we are at. I know that we have a church full of God-fearing, God-loving, America-loving patriots. And that I include myself in that list, okay? So we're going to say some things, and allow me just to continue to say some more comments. A lot of people say, well, is this going to be a doom and gloom message? You know, how many of y'all want the truth instead of a perverted lie? I want the truth, regardless. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I've heard preachers throughout the years try to condemn America, the future of America, and all this and that. And so nothing drastic, aside from maybe 9/11, has really happened to America. How many of y'all know that America is still a very young country? We're only 245 years old. In some people's minds, they think that that's a long time. You know, the Roman Empire, the Western and the Eastern segments, that was 1,400 years of existence. So 245 years in comparison to a 1,400-year-old empire is nothing. Yoo-hoo. Next comment. How many of us know that in the eyes of God, that Jerusalem is the center of the universe, yes. Not America? Right? And while I'm on that note, if God judged his own nation that he, out of his sovereignty and out of his wisdom, created, why would that exempt any other nation in the world? So far, so good, brother. I'm biblical, right? Keep me in check. All right, so let's open our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 38, rather. Ezekiel chapter 38. We're going to look at some verses here. Let me give you just a little prep time. Before we get to the verses, I'm going to give you a little time to get there, since that's in the Old Testament, kind of towards the middle of your Bible. We're going to look at some prophecies, a vision that the prophet Ezekiel had from the Lord about a future event that has yet to happen, even from our standpoint of 2021. So we're going to see that. We're going to look at different names. Okay, everybody, can you look up here? Have you found your scripture? Look up here at me, because I'm going to say some important things. We're going to look at different names in the passage that we're going to take a read from shortly. And these names are none other than the sons, the grandsons, great-grandsons of Noah's sons. Remember with me? Noah had how many sons? Three. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Very good. From those three sons came all of these other sons. So we're going to read the names of sons. Okay, so let's jump into, if you're with, say amen if you have Ezekiel 38. Amen. Thank you. Let's begin reading with verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog and the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarma from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Prepare yourselves and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. Stop there. Do you see, notice all the different names, Libya, Ethiopia. All of those are the names of the sons and grandsons and great-grandsons of Shemham or Japheth. Okay, there's a study, we can put that slide up, that's called ethnology. Okay, let's look at ethnology. Ethnology is a science that deals with the study of humans, looking at everything from the question of where we all come from to analyzing data about how we choose to live our lives now. So the study of ethnology, an ethnologist, a scientist of this study, basically studies where people come from. What's not mentioned in this definition, they also study, they also track the migration of certain peoples. An ethnologist will track the migration. How many of us know that after Noah got out of the ark, that God commanded him, be fruitful, replenish the earth, fill it up again with people? Well, they all didn't just hang around where the ark landed. Some speculate that it was in Turkey, and they just stayed there. No, they migrated. The sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their sons, their grandsons, migrated to different parts of the world. So where you see the names of certain men, that's where those sons and grandsons of Noah migrated to. Okay, we're going to furnish a map here shortly. You probably have already seen it. So what's happening here? God's declaring judgment on all of these names of the sons and grandsons of Noah, but they're not just to be referred to or looked at as sons and grandsons of Noah. They are now nations where these people migrated to. Right? So far, so good, everybody? So God is pronouncing judgment on nations, not on a person or persons. God is pronouncing judgment. Okay, verse 8. So far, so good, everybody? Say amen if you're with me. Thank you. After many days you will be visited. In the latter days you will come back into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Who's he talking about in verse 8? He's talking about the Jews. Remember in the book of Acts, they dispersed. Didn't Jesus give his disciples the command, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, right? That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But how many of y'all know that the believers got comfortable in Jerusalem and they did not want to go beyond Jerusalem, so God allowed persecution to drive them out to different parts of the world. But have you noticed that studies have been made of the remigration of Jews from all over the world back into their land? There is even as there was an exodus out of Jerusalem, now there is a huge influx of Jews back into Jerusalem from different parts of the world. That's what verse 8 is talking about. That these Jews will come back and they will dwell in safety. Verse 9, you will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, and you and all your troops and many peoples with you. Verse 10, thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. Who's he talking to in verse 10? He's talking to all these different nations that he's about to judge. Evil thoughts will arise in their mind. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely. Who are they? That's Israel, the Jews, right? Who dwell safely, and all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Stop there. What are some of the goods that people will find in Israel that the Lord says would be jaws as hooks in their mouths? God will entice all these different nations to come against Israel. Number one, oil. There are huge reserves in the Holy Land, in God's land, of oil. How many of y'all know that not just Esau got the oil, that Isaac got the oil too? So what's going to drive these other nations to Garma, Libya, Egypt, Cush, Put? We're going to keep look at them here. It's the oil that's going to drive them to go to Israel so that they could get those reserves. Another aspect of Israel, where it's located geographically, it has access to free-flowing fresh water for navigation. Another thought. That's another hook that God's going to put in the mouth of all these different nations. So far, so good, everybody? Amen. Say amen, please. Thank you. Verse 11. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled village. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Dedan, that's over by Spain, merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Stop there. In prophecy, the lions are England. If you look at the banner, the standard, the national flag of England, it's full of what? Lions. So think with me, who are the young lions that came from England? Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. We are, as Americans, a part of that group. We are the young lions. We're not all that young lions compose. And notice what it says here in this verse, that while all these nations are attacking Israel, listen carefully, church family, I'm going to connect dots here soon. While they're attacking Israel, that the young lions, including America, will say, oh, look at it happen, and we will not go to Israel's rescue. Up to this point, America has been an ally to Israel, haven't we? Yes. Who believes with me that God's promise to Abraham was not in vain? I will bless those who bless you, and I will do what? Curse you, curse those who curse you. Once again, the center of the universe in the mind of God is not the United States, it is Israel. So we're going to take a laissez-faire, a hands-off, a passive view to Israel being attacked by all these different nations. Don't you think that there's a lot of tension in the Middle East right now? Yes. And what is it over? The sovereign, the right for the Jewish sovereign nation to exist. All these other countries would be happy if Israel was wiped off the face of the earth. The Iranians, they call Israel the little Satan. They call America the great Satan. Am I telling the truth? So they wish, to them, Israel is just, it's an impediment for them to take land and to rule the way they would like to rule. They are against their lifestyle. They are against our lifestyle. Now, let's look at, we just came out of a 20-year war, right? In Afghanistan, the longest standing war that America has ever waged. Now, think with me. With current administration and leaders, how many of y'all know, I believe with all my heart, and this is what I foresee happening, this is my opinion, okay, this is not chapter and verse, I will tell you it is my opinion, I'm telling you, I do not foresee us getting back into long-term war with anybody else. I believe that we'll do some shock and awe campaigns here and there, but nothing like what we saw in Afghanistan. Okay? All right. So far, so good, everybody. Say amen if you're with me.
Amen.
All right. Interesting?
Yes.
Say amen if it's interesting. I'm not going to let you off the hook. Verse 13, Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take their plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come to your place out of the far north, and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Go with me to the front of the chapter. It says here, verse 2, son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh. Rosh, R-O-S-H, there in verse 2 is Russia. Russia. Modern day Russia. How many of y'all know that the Russians have it out against Israel and they have it out against America? Listen, that Cold War is going to warm up again. Right? I'll ask it this way. Who of us here trust the Russians? Who of us here trust the Iranians? They're enriching. Listen, the Iranians are enriching uranium. Russian scientists taught the Iranians how to develop nuclear warfare, and they are enriching uranium. That's a process by which you create nuclear warfare weapons. So that's happening right now as we speak. But it was the Russians who taught the Iranians how to do that. All right, let's look at the map, the little map that I provided, please. There you go. All right, Gomer, Germany, Russia, Magog, all the stands, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Persia, modern-day Iran. Persia, that was the name of Iran before 1935. In 1935, they changed their name to Iran. So Iran's in the game. Ethiopia, Libya, okay? Meshek, Tubal, Togarma, modern-day Turkey. See that? That's what's going to happen. And once again, the Lord's going to say what's going to happen to the nations that came against it. Listen carefully. And to the nations that did not come to the defense of Israel. Say amen if you're with me.
Amen.
Let's read on. Verse 17. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in the former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? And it will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. Wow. That's a powerful statement. How many of y'all know that Israel is the apple of God's eye?
Amen.
And those who come against it, he will destroy. Verse 19, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there will be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down. The steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall say that I am the Lord. Now, what three things is God going to use to destroy these nations, to confuse them? Number one, an earthquake. Number two, there will be confusion among the different nations. They will turn on each other. They will fight each other instead of fighting Israel. And number three, there shall come fire from heaven. I've taught this before. Some people say, well, Pastor Joe, it could be the hailstones from the Lord God as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, God can do anything. I believe that this is nuclear warfare. I believe that there will be nuclear exchanges in the future across the pond and in America. Ezekiel 39. Let's just put the other verse in Ezekiel 39. I'll read it from there. I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in the security in the coastlands. We're going to visit that security in the coastlands. And they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nation shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Did you hear it? It is coming. Church family, it is coming. It is going to happen. Verse 6. I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in the security in the coastlands. That is America. Hebrew word, E-I-Y for coastlands, which basically means far coast, far away coastlands that are densely populated. Could that be New York? Could that be D.C.? Could that be on the West Coast, Los Angeles? Aren't they pumping all kinds of immorality and profanity and vulgarities from coast to coast, predominantly those centers? Isn't there, haven't we erected a God to consumerism? Don't throw rocks at me, church family. You know, when 9/11 happened 20 years ago, I remember I had a friend of mine, and I don't think he saw the perspective. He said, you just watch, we're going to build bigger buildings. I said, to what? As a tribute to whom? For what? Is it going to be like the Tower of Babel again? Listen, everything will not continue happening as it has, church family. Okay, why America? Let me first say here, America has been true to Israel up to this point. We have been their strongest ally, hell or high water. That will not always be, obviously. Number two, America has contributed more money to worldwide Christian missions than any other nation or many nations put together. I was at a Billy Graham ministers conference. I remember it was the year 2000, and they were instructing us pastors. You know, they were at this particular workshop. They were talking about it. They did a study of how much money was given in the decade of the 90s for the cause of Christ. The American Christian church, but I mean by Christian, those who love God, who have been saved genuinely, who try to live for Jesus, right? Because there's a lot of churches that don't fit that bill. Thank you. They gave $90 billion to the cause of Christ in America for the cause of Jesus in that decade. $90 billion. So why would God judge America? We must not, church family, I'm going to say it, you know, we must not overlook the fact that America has killed millions and millions of innocent human lives. They still do it. Hebrews 11 says that the blood of innocent blood cries out to God. Innocent blood, how do you think the cries are reaching heaven's throne from the many innocent babies that were taken for whatever reason? For whatever reason. Let me say here, because I know I'm speaking to more than just us here at church. Listen, if you are within earshot of me and you've had an abortion, listen, God does not condemn you. God loves you. God offers you forgiveness and He offers you healing from that post-traumatic disorder that you are suffering. There is healing to that. Well, Joe, how do you know that there's PTSD? You know, I remember there was a gal that came for counseling at one of the churches about 20 years ago that I was pastor of. And I had in the corner of my office, I had a little basket full of different Christianity Today magazines. And on the cover of one was a little embryo that had the mention of the abortion crisis in America or something to that effect. This gal that I was there happened to look at it and she said, oh, would you please turn that magazine over? I can't stand to see that. And she told me why. How many of y'all know that there's healing and forgiveness for that person? Amen. By the same token, God does not wink at murder. Murder of innocent blood, Proverbs 6 tells us, is an abomination to the Lord. America will be judged for this. What did the Lord say? It's going to happen. It will be done. Right? And political expediency, the lust that we pump. I would hate to be either... I remember his first name. Well, I would hate to be that guy from Playboy magazine. Hefner, Hugh Hefner, on the Day of Judgment. Or Larry, whatever his name is for... Who? Flint. For Penthouse? I know what sins you were forgiven of, brother. That was what? Okay. Yeah. And there's no sneaking in those. Never mind, Terry. Listen, church family, I'll say it the way Billy Graham said it. If God does not judge America, He will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. What about this? What about that? That sin in Sodom and Gomorrah, don't we have it here? Don't we applaud it? Don't we celebrate it? Don't we snub God when we say, I'm not happy with the gender you gave me, I'm going to change my gender? Don't you think that's a snubbing? It's not a personal right. See, this is where we've gone wrong in America. We have put self at the center and God not even on the radar screen. God is the center of everything. And church family, I'm saying this in love. We can line up and follow Him and be blessed, or we can do our own thing and insist on our own personal human rights and believe that we are the center, that we are the captains of our own destiny. Fine, but you will experience the consequences of your rebellion. Right? Okay, one last question. How many of y'all still love me for sharing this message?
Amen.
So what do we do? Number one, you keep praying for America. We keep praying for it. We don't roll over. We don't wave the white flag of surrender. We don't say, well, it's going to happen anyway. Pastor Joe said, you know, he quoted from Ezekiel 39. Just don't talk to me in that voice. But we should still pray for America. Jesus said, we are a city set on a hill. We should let our light so shine still. Right, church family?
Amen.
Number two, let's continue to win souls for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's take as many people to heaven with us as we can. What do you say?
Amen.
Amen? And number three, remain patriotic. And listen, stand for the America that we all grew up with. As we were singing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah, we sang that in the first grade. We sang that in the second grade. Every class opened up with the Lord's Prayer, with Our Father, and then the Pledge of Allegiance. That's not the America that I see around me now. It's The God in America now is the God of secular humanism. We bow at those altars. And listen, let's be patriotic. Let's love the America that is supposed to be, even if it does not quite resemble what it was meant to be. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together. Father, minister your word. Help, Lord God, help us to see what's going to happen to America and why. Lord God, my heart is heavy for many reasons, Lord. I love this country. We love this country. It has afforded us unimaginable opportunities and incredible freedoms, Lord. Father, I will fight for the right of another person's freedom as much as I will fight for the right of my own freedoms here in America, because this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Father, continue to shed your grace on this nation as much as you possibly can before judgment comes. In Jesus' name, amen.